Welcome to the Global Black Caucus Power to the People podcast. I'm Angela Fobbs, the chair of the Global Black Caucus. And with me, as always, is Adrian George. How you doing?
Hey, Son.
And today we have a special guest, Allison Campbell. She is a Georgia voter who lives in Germany.
Yes, I do. Hello, everyone.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's our pleasure. You are a unicorn in a certain way, because you're a guest that we had that you're not a part of the Democratic Party in any way, and you're not a member of Democrats Abroad, I don't think.
No, you're absolutely correct about that.
Yeah. So you're a very special guest.
Thank you.
I also know that you're somebody that Angela's very fond of. So it's very nice to meet you.
Yes, same here. I'm excited for this little chat that we're going to have.
Yeah, part of our Georgia on Our Minds series. And what part of Georgia are you from? Georgia? How'd you become a Georgia voter?
Firstly, I was living in Heidelberg, and before then I was living at Fayetteville, North Carolina, and we wanted a change of scenery when it came into terms of moving back, and we chose Augusta, Georgia. I felt it would have been, a really fun place to move to and, just have a change of scenery. So we moved there, we lived there for about 2 years, and then we came right back to Germany. So we're residents for about 2 years right now.
And you handpicked Augusta. Why Augusta?
I wanted the same feel of Fayetteville. We lived in Fayetteville for about 10 years and really, had a great family, great friends that, we figured, well, we want to stay down south and wanted to be near military, of course. So we decided Augusta, aside from going to Atlanta or Fort Benning area. And Augusta just seemed, fit. It looked as if, things were moving ahead. They were building, I forgot the name of the highway right now, but they were expanding of some sort over by Evans area. So we felt it was a good, choice to, again, stay down south, not moving up north where it's cold.
Yeah. Angela, have you been to Augusta? You've been in Georgia a lot.
I believe I have been in Augusta, or at least driven through it. I used to live in Florida, and I'm originally from Ohio, so, the I-75 corridor takes you everywhere.
Yes.
Crazy Ohioans roll down 75 to Florida, and then they have to pass through Georgia.
So. So Allison, or can I call you Allie? You have Allie.
Call me Allie.
Can I call you Allie?
Yeah, that's all right.
Did you vote this year and from abroad?
Yes, I did.
So what was that process like for you? Like, how did you know you could do it, and what steps did you take?
Well, the absentee ballot, of course, was the major thing. We registered to vote. And I kind of found it convenient of, at the time of being a Georgia resident and being able to vote, especially in this upcoming election, that's very important. So we registered to vote, got our absentee ballots out for the general election. And this time we really, not coming from Georgia or not living in Georgia before, we had to research all the different candidates who are running. So my husband and I, we took our time looking through the websites, just trying to get a general idea of what everyone stood for. And we made our choice, sent it in. We were sort of nervous, like, is it going to get here, with all the absentee ballot, discussion that was happening. But it arrived, we got confirmation that it did arrive. And so when we
get confirmation?
Through email.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we forgot exactly how that was done, but I believe it had to do with going to augusta.gov online to get that information and get that confirmation that it was received. And we did get it by email.
So you felt it, so you had to send it back in a, do you just use regular German post or did you use express mail?
No, we did express mail. We really wanted to be sure our vote counted.
Yes, great. When you when you requested an absentee ballot, did you request it to come to you by email or regular post?
This came by email. So
okay, good.
Yes, we had to log in online, put our information in, and again, follow the steps, which was relatively easy. You know, I'm surprised that a lot of people don't do it, but it was very, very easy. And this time around doing it again, it was just as easy doing it online.
You mean this time again for the runoffs?
Yes, yes. Sorry. Yes.
Were you able to download your ballot this time on the website?
Yes, everything went through smoothly. And with this next election coming up, my husband, he mailed it out maybe a week or 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
and,
wow. Okay.
Yeah. This time, instead of paying to have it done, he went and got it shipped, you know, sent out for free. And we had a tracking number that was given to us to track it getting to Georgia. And again, it reached. And
what do you mean for free?
I guess instead of paying to have it, through the regular system, I'm not too sure where he went to, but he was able to go in and have it sent over for free. He did not have to pay for it.
Is he military?
Civilian. Yeah.
Civilian. Okay. Now, the only reason I say that's the first, you're the first Georgian abroad that we've talked to that had access to that service. So maybe we can research it and put it in the show notes. I don't know if it would be.
If you have the prepaid envelope, you know, the ones that are, have the election stuff on it that you get from the, you know,
your
election official. Yeah, you can send it for free through the military post. In fact, during the general election, all the military bases were, the post office was open to Americans to drop off their ballots there.
That's fabulous. I didn't know that. Great. Yeah. So even so, but you don't you need a military ID to get on the base?
In the case of the general election, they actually put it in the Stars and Stripes. I think that you just have to go to the gate, tell them that you want to mail this, and then someone from the post office will come and sign you in, and then you can go and drop it off.
That's fantastic. Wow.
Yeah,
I had no idea. Thanks for letting us know that, Allie. I had no idea. Maybe there are some other people that can take advantage of that.
Yes, because, but if you can't, please just go to the post office or a courier service immediately.
Because we want to give you all your options. Exactly. But I can hear you. Allie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Angela, can you hear us?
I can now. Yeah, you were both frozen.
Oh, okay. You were frozen. Well, we're back.
We're back. Okay. Well, anytime.
Well, you know, Frozen Friday, Angela said it was snowing in Germany.
Yeah, so. It was. Hopefully it doesn't continue. Not that I'm going anywhere or doing anything, but.
That's what Allie said. She's like, I'm in. I'm in.
Yes, I am. I do not like driving in the snow.
Do you have your winter tires?
Yes, yes. I have the all seasons, actually. So I'm pretty, you know, set. But I just don't, you know, I don't like driving and being careful. And then the black ice to have to worry about.
Yeah.
What
will we say? Oh, we want to make sure we give people all their options for getting the ballots back. So you know that the ballot has to be in your precinct or polling station. What is it, Angela? Your local election official.
It has to be there by January 5th.
January 5th.
Yes.
January 5th. And that may seem like a long time, but it's not.
It's not.
With the crazy mail systems and the Christmas cards and all the other packages that are going to be flooding the system. So if you've got your ballot, you printed it out, you filled it out, and you haven't mailed it back, I don't know why not.
Yes, exactly. Please vote and return your ballot.
Yeah, do it as soon as you can. And another reason you need to do it as soon as you can, not only do you want to make the deadline, but if there's something wrong with your signature, they'll let you know, and you want to get that done as soon as possible. You know, we're asking a lot of the Georgians who are counting these votes and processing these ballots. They had to count how many times, Angela?
Three times.
Yeah.
You know, so let's do our part and get it in as early as possible. I want to thank them again. I don't think we give them enough credit because did it. Allie, don't you think? I mean, they did it with everybody watching
Dealing with COVID right now, you know, being in one room, having to recount over and over. I mean, it's just tragic, I think.
Yeah, a lot of those people are not paid or volunteers or have other jobs. You know, like you say, they have families. You know, it's a public service that they're providing, and we need to respect and applaud them. Also, all the mail carriers and mail sorters in Georgia. Angela, I know you have special love for them.
Yes, I do. My grandmother retired from the post office, and she was a mail sorter. And when she started, they used to do it all by hand. I'm sure they're back to that. And so you had to memorize every zip code in the United States and the city in order to get this job. They used to do it by hand, and you had to memorize every zip code and every city and state that went with it so that you could throw the mail to the right place.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Props to the automatic or manual. That's a heavy job, and they've never had as many ballots to process by mail as before. They're not like Washington State. That's a complete mail state. So, Allie, I know you were there for 2 years, but did you still have friends or any Georgia voters that you know of back home?
I made a lot of friends there, but I haven't really spoken to anyone to find out their opinion on the voting.
Well, how did you know? Yeah, I wonder, and how did you know? Because we talked to another guy in Germany, and his mother didn't know she had to vote again. Like, how did you know you had to vote again?
My husband follows the news.
Okay.
He's very much involved. Actually, I do know one person who is very, she's an advocate for voting. I should have remembered her. And she was the one that I did reach out to her to find out, hey, you know, what do I need to keep on top of? And she did mention doing the second voting. So Melissa, yes.
Oh, that's good. Because, yeah, that was one thing that I hadn't realized, that maybe a lot of our elders or people that are just busy and got back on with their lives, thinking that, you know, they did what they had to do. Like, we don't want this to get past them.
Exactly. And that's the thing that the local candidates and, you know, they have issues as far as people not remembering, oh, I need to vote again, or just become involved. So that's why everyone that knows about it either needs to spread the word or simply do their part to, you know, get some sort of good turnout, especially for this runoff.
Now, you know, you said, and I love what you said, you and your husband, you guys took the time and researched the candidates.
Yes, we did. So
what do you think about Warnock and Ossoff? Were they part of your initial research?
Yes. Everyone was. And again, we just like what they stood for, especially Warnock being a pastor. We know that that's important, not necessarily to have church in state, but to have someone that can uphold some good morals. I personally believe that America has lost its morals and values. And we definitely need that, you know, that back. And we need people who want the best for America. Mm-hmm. So we looked at that. We paid attention to what they did for the community, how they represented themselves. And that's why they were in the running for us.
Wow. Yeah. I found out, I didn't realize that John Ossoff is an investigative reporter for on corruption. Like, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So that's one reason he speaks with so much authority then about Purdue.
Yes, because he knows corruption when he sees it. Yes, for sure. And I don't know, Kelly Loeffler, which a Löffel is spoon in German. And she has a German name. So Löffler would mean spooner. So I don't know
what to do with that. I don't know. Yeah. What to do with that. Well, yeah. Maybe she's getting spoon. Maybe she's getting spoon fed the party line. Right. Because she's still a Trump supporter.
Yes. Vehement. Both of them, Purdue and Löffler, are Trump supporters. And they I don't think they've acknowledged that Biden has won the election.
No, I didn't hear anything. No.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre, but you know what? Okay, so yeah, we were talking deadlines. December 14th is not a deadline. It's an open line, I guess. That's you can right. say. It's the opening first day you can vote in person, vote early in person in Georgia. Now, you can go to iwillvote.com to find out where your closest
polling ballot. Place or ballot drop-off.
Right, both of those, the polling place or the ballot drop off, because we encourage you to, of course, you want to vote safely. Vote early if you can. We discourage you from waiting to January 5th to do anything.
Oh, please.
Exactly.
You don't want to be out there January 5th. January 5th, you want to be home seeing those early returns come in. You want to be warm.
Yeah.
So Monday you can start voting in person. Find that place, that drop off place, that polling place. And you know what? This is the time where you can check with your elders or your friends and say, hey, December 14th, we can go, what's your plan? My plan is to go December 14th here's my Dropbox. What's your plan? Help somebody out. This may have gotten past somebody. People are overwhelmed for a lot of reasons. So don't assume that anybody's on top of this. If you've got your game together, go and ask a friend and then see who else that you can help outdo it, because this is very important. Georgia has meant so much to this election. Thank you. I know we're asking a lot of Georgians, but you guys have done so much. You turned the state blue, something that hadn't been done since when? My historian.
Since Clinton, 1992.
So, and look what's happened. You guys did it. Now, Allie, did you see that coming? Did you think that Biden was going to win Georgia?
Wow. No, I didn't. I was on pins and needles for months, weeks before. I often remember 2016. I remember sleeping in bed, waking up, turning on the television, seeing that Trump won, getting disappointed, and going back to sleep. I couldn't face it. My husband and I, we talk a lot. We did not see this coming because we really felt the anger that was out there in America was going to have Trump win again. Mm-hmm. But I think as well, people are tired, especially for everything that has happened in 2020. They really want to change. They really want to make a difference. They want to get back. Even if it's the new normal, they want to get back to normal. Mm-hmm. So again, I did not see it coming. When he won, I screamed so loud. My husband, and he's saying, "Oh, you're making me deaf," and I just kept screaming and jumping. I even did a little recording that I posted on Facebook
of me. Great.
Of me just,
We'll put that in the show notes.
I think Angela can see it too. It's been so long. But I was that ecstatic about it because a weight was really lifted off my shoulder. I wasn't feeling too comfortable. Again, like I said, weeks and months before, wishing that people did go out. I know people who don't vote, and that's a different topic, but I was very, truly happy I almost wanted to go home for the inauguration, but again, due to COVID, I don't think I'll be able to travel home for that. So,
well, you know what? Don't feel disappointed, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be majority virtual.
That's going to be bigger than Obama's inauguration.
If it's virtual, that's right, because yes. It's not limited to the amount of people you can have one place. So don't feel bad about that. And
that's okay. On the second inauguration, we'll all be able to go there.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, really, I had thought about it too, but I just can't take the chance with COVID, you know, like it's running rampant in the United States, more so than it is almost anywhere else. You know,
it's running rampant in Europe. It's everywhere. And we know that it's at tragic proportions in the States. And if you went state by state, it's a horror story. I haven't been able to get out of unscathed, or, you know, and even in, like, my aunt's in the hospital with it. She's been in Georgia, actually. She's been moved from high oxygen to regular oxygen with the goal to get her out of ICU. Her son, my cousin, had it. He's home. He was asymptomatic. One of my sorority sisters had it. She's out of the hospital. So that's like my close circle. And then if you just talk to somebody else, someone I grew up in church with, he lost his aunt and uncle. I think they were in Georgia because it was in the newspaper, you know, and then you can just go further. People are losing whole families.
Exactly.
From different generation points, whether it's a parent or a spouse. I mean, it's tragic what's happening around the country with COVID. That's another reason we encourage people to vote from Monday early and safely as possible. You don't want to be in the poll line on January 5th.
Yes. You
know, that's not the safest option. You know, let January 5th be for somebody other than you. Let's put
leave
it like that.
Leave it for Republicans.
There you go.
Because they don't want to vote early or with absentee ballots. They want to come on election day like, I don't know, like they're in the 18th century or something, you know.
I understand that the voting is a social thing. You know, I used to see neighbors I never saw before, but nobody's being social in COVID. You know, this is 2020 is not the year of being social. So whatever sentimentality or nostalgia you may have with going to the polls, pack it up and save it for the midterm. Save it for 2024.
Yes, when we can all, which will be great to be able to go somewhere and be like, oh, hey, there, I haven't seen you in 10 years, you know, or however long it'll be. It would be super nice to see people. But right now, so vote early, vote by absentee ballot. Drop your ballot off if you're in Georgia at one of the drop-off boxes. You know, I don't trust the post office at all, really, anymore. Louis DeJoy, who is my favorite villain. DeJoy.
I can't say no joy whenever I hear you saying it. And you know another thing, Angela, isn't it true that they're reducing the
number of polling places? Yes.
Allie, have you read that?
Yes, I have.
That's tragic. That's why, like you said, tragic. So that's another reason not to try to do it in person. It's going to be more people in fewer places.
That's right.
Possibly if they didn't mail it in or drop it off. So, you know, just so have a voting plan. So, Angela, if you're abroad and you still need to get this together, Angela can tell you about there's help for people.
Oh, yes, that's right. So we're recording this on Friday, but there is help on live, help on Zoom on Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday and Thursday, every week until the election. Please, if you need assistance, if you are worried about, I don't know, you haven't filed your taxes and you're worried that you can't vote or that you don't remember your address in Georgia, or maybe you lived on a military base when you were in Georgia, that was your home of record, and it's gone now. Our people can help you resolve all these issues to get you to be able to vote. And it's a live Zoom one-on-one help. You go into a Zoom room. You go to a breakout room with a person individually. So nobody else has to hear what you're talking about. It's just between you and the person that's helping you. And
now the only thing they can help you with is register to vote at this point, because that ship has sailed.
Yep.
That was December.
That was Monday.
It was Monday. So it makes me sad. I'm sad for anyone who thought, oh, I'm going to get it done and you didn't get it done. I'm joyful for all the people who did it, especially first time voters that are going to be 18 January 5th. Yay. You know, you still get to participate. Sir. I'm joyful for you for that. That's one of the blessings that came out of this. You didn't miss, you know, participating in this year's election, this year's huge election, and you can be part of history by flipping the Georgia Senate. So your vote is so important. If people didn't know how important individual votes were before, they know now, seeing how they were all counted three times, right? So your vote.
Yeah, your vote is incredibly important. Like, you never thought so, you know, in Georgia. It's like how I felt in 2000 with the Florida vote. Like, I never thought, you know, my vote was important, but not so important. And yeah. But we won't revisit that old history.
Happy Friday, right? We're having a happy Friday. So I wonder.
Glad we changed that name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pre-show, I had another
name. Yeah, another name for it, but it wasn't happy.
Yeah, with the three lovely sisters, I can be happy again. So I wanted, one reason I was so happy and excited to meet Allie, because you're a writer and I love to read. So what are you writing and what can I
read? Oh, wow. Well, I write literary romance, and I've been writing since 8 years old, but I didn't actually start publishing until 2 years ago, and I have three of my novels out right now, currently working on two, and excited to have one come out next year.
Wow.
Because this one started February of this year. And I was finished with it within 2 months. And
wow, is this going to have a COVID twist?
It's a prelude to it, because it happened before, it happened in December of 2019. And this fourth book, it's called Paradise Plum. And I thought of extending it past December 2019. I have written some scenes so far. However, I am trying to figure out how to incorporate the COVID situation into it, because the main character, she is a pharmaceutical doctor.
Oh.
So it was just kind of strange that I chose that as her profession. And I dealt with depression in that novel. I like to incorporate a lot of social issues, social concerns in my novels, even though they're all about falling in love. Mm-hmm. So this one, book two, may have some COVID-19 discussions in there.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's super. I'm going to have to get your books. And I know that you told me that there's a sale on your books for your birthday.
Yes. My birthday is December 29th. So on that day, instead of going out, because we can, I am going to burst a pinata. I need to de-stress in some way. So I figured, hey, what do I want to do for my birthday? So I bought a pinata, but that's a different story. But yes, I do have a special coming up December 28th that goes until January 4th. And it's for Amazon Kindle users only, where each of my novels will be $1.99 at cost.
Wow. I'm going to take advantage of that generous offer that you're offering.
Please.
So, Angela, can we put that in the show notes?
Sure. We can, of course, put a link to Allison's books, because they sound super interesting. And I have to say, I haven't read too many romance novels, but on vacation, I have been known to read a romance novel, you know.
So are your characters African-American? Are they American at all? Are they European? Because you have such a wide personal lived experience.
I do. I am from the Caribbean, Trinidad and Tobago.
I hear that lovely accent. You haven't lost it.
Thank you. So I try to incorporate a lot of Black people, African-American people. My current novel, Classic Girl, deals with a mixed individual, And I made her that way because I feel, you know, we don't get to hear a lot of stories dealing with, you know, mixed children and what they have to go through. My novel, Abigail's Second Chance, takes place in Dominica, the island. And my other book, In Good Company, that recently came out this year, that takes place in Trinidad. So I, you know, certainly involved a lot of my culture, things that I love about being a Trinidadian, into my novel. And because I love culture, arts, languages, anything that has to do with the arts, I always try to include that in my novels.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. You know what is so funny? My stomach growled when you started naming Dominica, Trinidad. I'm thinking food. So do you, is food included? Like people, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I read these books and they mention, you know, meals or whatever. And how big is, I'm totally going off base now, but are you a good cook and how big is food important? How much, I know Angela loves food. Like how important is food to you?
Food is very important for me. Not only trying to be a healthy eater, which I've, you know, picked up while living here in Germany. I love to cook. I cook every day. And it is very important for me because, again, of the different, you know, ingredients and things that we cook. Palau is our main dish. And palau consists of rice, pigeon peas, which is also called, I believe, gungu peas, and rice all in one pot. And it's a quick meal that one can make. I make kalaloo, which the Trinidad style kalaloo, because it's different than Jamaican. And my husband is Jamaican and he does not eat Trinidad style kalaloo. Very different because it has okra. Okay. But again, I love to cook. I truly enjoy that. And I do incorporate that in the novel in Good Company, because again it takes place in Trinidad, and again in mixing cultures, my character in that book, she is half Black and half Indian, because 51% of East Indians live in Trinidad, so we have a lot of Indian, you know, culture there.
You know, that's interesting. And is people hear romance novels, they think it's like a chick book or something. Are men enjoy your books as well?
My husband has read my book. I haven't really branched out to find the male sector. I did have one other individual who read it, and he did enjoy In Good Company. And I don't particularly like to call myself a romance author. Again, even though I write about love and falling in love, I try to incorporate the meaning of why people fall in love, because I don't think at this time that people are truly falling in love and being committed in a relationship and sticking it through and working things out. And again, this is something that I am working very hard on, my current novel, Classic Girl. That's going to be a trilogy. Mm-hmm. And that it incorporates, I took psychology in college and I fell in love with it and I did personality psychology. So when it came to character development, I really tried to hone in on creating a believable character that people will enjoy going through their journey of, again, falling in love.
Mm. Can I ask you a question? Okay, I know you said you know a lot of people who don't vote. Mm-hmm. And you study psychology. How can we reach people? Like, what tips do you have for moving non-voters to voters? Because I know some of it is misinformation, some of it is apathy, some of it is don't believe in the system, the system's broken, or their vote doesn't matter, do you think sometimes it means they think that they don't matter? Like, how can we build up people to participate and not necessarily make them Democrats, but make them participate in this democratic process?
That's a very, very good question. I think, yes, a lot of people don't believe their vote counts, especially when you have the highest person in the government, you know, telling people, you know, there's frauds and things like that going on. Yeah. But I think the best psychology to get people out there is to, you know, just really think of who you want to represent you as an American. You know, living overseas, you know, when people think of an American, they think that they're loud, that they're boisterous, that, you know, they have like a distaste for them. But I think if once we get people in the office that truly care about themselves, their citizens, the whole population, it's kind of hard right now, but I think we need to work on that throughout the next 4 years of bringing positivity back into our lives. We've had a lot of negative things happening, you know, things that, you know, were shed in light. So I think we need to work on that still. I don't have a particular tip on that.
Yeah, no, because it's complex. I don't know that you could even have an answer, but I just wanted to ask you because you have an insight on personalities and into people. And Angela, we were talking to Ben yesterday, and he said he had a friend that didn't vote. Did he say why? I know he challenged him.
He felt like there was no one that represented him.
That's right. That's right.
And and he did vote for Barack Obama, but I think that other people can, you know, it doesn't have to be a one-to-one match. Like, if you're a Black man, you can vote for other people besides a Black man. If you're a Black woman, you can vote for other people besides a Black woman.
Well, you have to in a lot of cases, or you won't be voting. So I guess that was his point.
But I mean,
I'm only voting for Black people.
I mean, but you know, you could extrapolate that to people of other races or ethnicities, you know, like if you can only see yourself in somebody who looks identical to you, then the only person that can represent you is when you look in the mirror.
Well, you know, when we had, I think it was 2 years ago that it was the European elections. Was it 2 years ago? Because I know there was, and I can vote in Sweden. And there was a woman, a sister. I can't remember what her African background is, but I believe her mother is Swedish. So biracial, identifies as Black person. At least to me, she looks like it. And she's big on anti-racism and stuff. She was with the Green Party. And I said, I'm voting for her. I'm voting for her. And Jonas is like, are you voting for her just because she's Black? And I said, you know what? What if I am? I was like, well, all your candidates look just like you? You know, I was like, you've never been in that position where you had to say, to vote that everybody on the ballot didn't look like you, or that you know, I was like, yeah, I'm voting for her because she's Black. She's a woman. I was like, plus she's from the Green Party. You know, I want her in Brussels. I used to live in Brussels. I was like, we need representation as member of the parliament. I was like, yes, unabashedly, yes. And she's a good candidate. She's qualified. So I don't feel like I get where that person's coming from, but I also get where people are like, oh, well, you only voted for Barack Obama because he's Black. And it's like, yes, so what if I did? But I know that that's not going to be my choice every 4 years or every 2 years. I may never have a Black member of European Parliament again representing Sweden.
Yeah. So what if Ben Carson was running for president? Would you vote for him just because he's Black?
No, but I would vote
for Colin Powell. You have a look on your face.
I'm trying to think, and I probably wouldn't.
You've heard Ben Carson. You've heard the things that he says.
Yes. And just on that alone, I wouldn't do that.
If I had conjoined twins, I'd want him to separate it. But I don't know. He hasn't practiced in so long.
No, I think
he wouldn't. But he was brilliant. What he did in medicine, he was brilliant. And I'll give him. I'll never be able to take that away. Now, with his life past, that is a different story. But I will. You know, he did incredible things at Johns Hopkins, and I. You know, that's great. That's why he ended up on anybody's radar in the first place. Now, while he got trotted out, and then I was like, why isn't he? Surgeon General.
Well, I think we know why he's not Surgeon General, because he's kind of crazy. But
yeah, but so what? People don't necessarily like the Surgeon General we have now, that guy. That
well, no, I don't particularly care for him either. And he's Black. So it's just, honestly, it just, for me, it just depends on what your policies and, you know, your morals and that type of thing, not just what you look like.
Well, representation goes beyond race and gender.
That's right. It does.
And but, so those are the other things that you're talking about, you know, because it's like, yeah, Ben Carson may look like me or cousin, but he doesn't, I don't like his policies or other things. So,
yeah, he's, I saw that when he first got involved in politics, I don't know, was that like 2016 that he ran?
He did run. That's how he ended up in the cabinet.
But yeah. I watched that movie that he was in. It's called Helping Hands. It was a Lifetime movie, and I watched it. And I wanted to know about his life.
No, but I like Lifetime movies, but I'm just screaming inside thinking he was in a Lifetime movie.
Yes, he
and
was.
And I missed it. Okay.
But a lot of the things in this movie, there's two points in this movie that really struck me. And I kind of understand why he is the way he is, like not a Democrat or not. One was he went to a school that was mostly white people. And he was like maybe one or two Black people in the school. So there was a scene and it was in the movie. And this was like kind of amazing to me. Like there's the teacher is white and they're in a classroom setting with all the students and he's there. And then she's giving back the grades from a test that they had. And he got an A. And then this other little white boy got like a D or something. And the teacher says, "Do you see this boy? Ben, he doesn't have a father and, you know, he's incredibly disadvantaged and he made a good grade. So you need to try harder, you know?" And it's like, so he grew up in this atmosphere of white supremacy.
Okay. So he wasn't in the movie. This was his life story.
Yes, it was his life story.
Okay, so I could chuckle a little less. I'm thinking he.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't like, yeah, Ben Carson stars as.
That's what I was like, how did I miss that? Okay, it was a story of his life.
It was a story of his life.
Because I think it's based on a book. He wrote a book.
Helping Hands, yeah.
Okay, that's the
name
of his book.
And then there was another scene where he was trying to go to medical school and for some reason he was having trouble with something having to do with brain surgery, which okay. And his mentor, teacher, whatever was like, you know, you've got to try harder. You've almost, you know, succeeded. You can do it, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. It's like, he should be a different person. Cause when I saw that scene, the first scene where he was a kid and then somebody's pointing out, "Oh, look at him. He's not got a father and, you know, he's poor and whatever. And why can't you do better?" It just was like, he should have taken that as like incredibly racist. That was incredibly racist, but somehow he took it because it was obviously something meaningful for him because he wrote it down. He took it as something positive.
Well, he took what he had and ran with it. And now he achieved a lot of stuff. And
he did.
You know, that's so you can't take that away from him. And you can just also say that, you know, great, you were HUD. I think he's going to go down in history as being a HUD. You know, his policies and decisions he's made, he's got to live with that. And anybody that was impacted.
I hear
something like, I don't know, it's almost like Alexa probably came on and is playing Christmas music downstairs or something. It's like almost like the ice cream truck is outside but inside, and I'm like, okay, there's no ice cream truck.
Hopefully there's no ice cream truck in the downstairs of your house.
I know, but it is something I'm hearing playing coming from the kitchen. But yes, when it comes to this thing for representation, if people right now or have not filled in those ballots, Georgia voters, and you're like, is it going to be Warnock or Perdue? If you're
just
still on the
mark those D's and keep it pushing. Like, yeah. I know Adrian wants you to think about all this stuff. And I'm just saying Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue are both criminals. If you don't support crime, and then you don't have to vote for them. You know,
well, you know, because we've got somebody like Allie that's really thoughtful and said, you know, we researched all the candidates because we weren't sure what was going on. You know, like the initial vetting period has been done now, people. It's down to, you know, two races with two candidates. They've pretty much been vetted. Any dirt that was going to come up or come out has come out. You know, if you still want to make sure and say, you know, well, I know who this person is. There's tons. Look at the debates. How about that? Right. Go to the debates.
Exactly.
And let that help you. Angela, what, yeah. You know.
Spoiler alert. The debate between Ossoff and Perdue was Ossoff talking to standing next to an empty podium because yeah. Perdue just couldn't show up. Like, it's because he's a criminal and he doesn't want to be called a criminal on TV repeatedly by John Ossoff like he did the first time they debated.
Yeah. And I mean, there are lots of things that you can do to be an informed voter. But the main thing is to, and I think another part of this the equation is looking at what's at stake. So what's at stake, Angela, for people that are still on the fence about how they're going to vote in Georgia?
Well, there's a myriad of things at stake, one of which is that if we're going to get the Biden-Harris agenda through Congress, then we need to control the Senate. Because if we don't control the Senate, then Moscow Mitch is just going to do what he's done for the past 10 years, which is nothing. I mean, I'm surprised right now they have a bill trying to give another COVID relief package. And basically it doesn't have any money for any normal people in it. I find that incredibly shocking. So if you care about climate change, if you care about human rights, if you care about the fact that we have millions of people in food bank lines, millions of people can't afford medical care, especially during this pandemic. If you care about any issue, LGBTQ rights, rights of indigenous people, if you care about drilling in the Arctic, if you care about anything, we can't have a Republican Senate. They have and will continue, if given a chance, to destroy the United States and the Earth for money. And it's not worth it because we don't, despite the fact that, what's that guy, the Tesla guy? I can't remember. Elon Musk is making rockets and everything. We're not going to get off this planet, okay? Like when this ship goes down, we're going with it. And if we don't do something, we have to stand up and do something to protect ourselves. Everybody, it kind of drives me crazy that people are always like, well, we need to protect our children for, you know, against climate change. So it's happening right now. You need to protect yourself, not just your children. Like, it's not a future action. It's what's happening now. And so all these things are happening. We need to make sure that people get a vaccine. Trump already botched it with the vaccine. He was offered extra doses and he said no. And so now the United States doesn't have enough, or they're going to have to wait until more. Yeah. So this is everything is at stake. Whatever it is, your education, if you have a student loan, if you have children that are planning to go to college and they're planning to go to the United States.
If we're going to have a stimulus package, did you mention that?
Yes, the stimulus, we need that for people.
It's worth repeating.
The evictions that are going to take place, the evictions and foreclosures, we have to do something about that. We can't have, it is December. We cannot have 20, 30 million people getting turned out of their houses. Yeah. I could go on, but I think you understand that you can easily understand that this is for all the money. Like, this is for everything. This is to save humanity because Trump and Republicans, there's no separation between Trump and Republicans. A lot of people like to make it seem like there's, Trump is an anomaly, but you see how they're all backing him up. How they're all standing behind him. And so if they're standing behind him, that means that they agree with him. They're not hypnotized, just like the 70-something million people that voted for him are not hypnotized either. They know what they're doing, and what they want is violence and hatred and suffering. Exactly. So back to you, Adrian.
No, you know, because you and I are one of these people that don't really get it when people don't vote.
Yeah.
You know, and we have a pretty good grasp of American history and, you know, the African-American experience and the African diaspora, you know, colonialism and all ways that we have been treated less than humane and locked out of the very systems where we can have any power, and voting has been one of those ways. And we've seen, you know, we know voter suppression is real. We know all these things are still stacked against us, so that people who can actually vote and don't vote is still like an anomaly to me, which is why I asked Allie, like, you know, how can we get to them? And, you know, you don't want to shame anybody. You don't want to guilt anybody. You know, you want to, you know, people who are apathetic, you know, some people you're not going to reach, you know. There's only two countries in the world that, well, I can't say there's only two countries, but I know Australia and Brussels have voting. Is you have to vote, you know, as a citizen. But it's a part of being a citizen.
Yes,
it is. You know, there's so many reasons that I can give people to vote. So I feel for people who don't vote. If you are aware of what is it, current conditions or the news, you saw how important every vote was. You saw people banging on the door saying, stop counting the voting. You see how people don't, how much power there is in voting and exercising. You see how people in positions of power who need to go are so fearful for the vote.
Yes, they're fearful because they know that they won't be able to continue their wrongdoing if other people are in office, or which, let's hope, people will find out their wrongdoing and prosecute them. In Iowa, there was a House of Representatives race where the Republican won by 6 votes.
See, that's
6 votes. And so if 6 other people or 7 other people had stood up and voted, then we wouldn't have this person in office. So I'm not the person that won't shame you. You should be ashamed. Sorry.
You know, was it Maya Angelou? When we know better, we do better. So we're hoping that we're giving you enough information so that you know, and you know better, and you can do better. Because if you're a Georgian who didn't vote in November, but you're still a registered voter, you can vote now. You don't, that wasn't a prerequisite. It doesn't preclude you from voting now. So if you thought, whatever you were feeling. And you, here's the other thing, people. I know you've been stressed. Maybe you were sick or caring for a sick person. You know, there's a lot going on. This hasn't been an easy year. But if you're a Georgia voter who didn't vote in November, you have a chance to vote in January. And that vote is so important. It's so important. So I think that we're reaching peaches, you know, we're calling this a Georgia on our mind. We want to reach a peach. You know, I want to encourage you to, you know, have your voting plan. If you're in Georgia, go out on the 14th, make sure other people have their plan. If you're overseas, like Allie, she said her husband mailed their ballots like 2 weeks ago. Yep, kudos.
Good job.
Kudos.
Thank you very much. We had to make our voice count through voting.
That's right. It's so very important.
Yeah, it's not too late for you to do it, but let this be the weekend, you know, that, and maybe you're thinking, oh, you know, COVID, I don't want to go out and to the ballot, and that, you know, I understand that, but you know what, pick a place, you know, Angela, what advice would you have if you're in Germany? What's the low peak time to go to the post office, or here we have to do it in like a lot of different outlets?
Well, you know, the good thing in a way about Germany is that Deutsche Post has all these little stores that, you know, inside of like the tobacco store or the magazine store or whatever, where you can just go drop off your mail. So you don't actually have to, you can go to the regular post office, but you could also just run into the newsstand and say, I want to post my letter really quick, and it'll get there, you know? So there's a million options to do it in Germany. And I think it's that way in a lot of places.
Yeah. I don't even know if we have post offices anymore, but like like you say, like the Livsmedel boutique. Okay. The Swedish word, the little like every neighborhood has one.
Like a kiosk.
But it's bigger than a kiosk. But I guess it would be a kiosk, because to me, a kiosk, I still think it was like an outdoor thing that's not even in a building. This is like a mini grocery store. Like, you wouldn't necessarily want to buy your milk.
Store.
Convenience store. Thank you. But we have 7-Eleven too, so it's not where I am, but in Sweden. So not like a 7-Eleven, but it's your little convenience store. That's what, you know, you can mail there, you pick up, you know. So I don't have to find myself in some big, huge line. You know, I can, because we do want people to be safe.
Yeah, and our post office, I spent a lot of time during this year mailing stuff out. We had a few postcard writing campaigns, and somehow I got stuck with all the postcards before lockdown. And so I ended up having to mail them to people, you know, that want to like write postcards, so the blank ones. And our post office only allowed like 2 people in at a time. There were 2 lines. And they have the doors open, wide open, so that there's plenty of fresh air. And then they have a line that starts out, you know, at the door and back. So you have to stay 1.5 meters apart. So it is, I mean, here it's super safe, I think. You know, everybody has to wear a mask, of course, always inside of a building. They only let 2 people in at the same time, and the lines are not close to each other. They're separated, you know, by at least 2 meters. And you can just run right in, drop off your, tell them you want, be sure to put USA on your envelope so it gets there. A lot of times the postal clerks will catch that, but make sure, you know, it's just better if you put it on there underneath the address. And remember that if you use one of these special election envelopes, if you go to any post outside of the military post, you have to put postage on it.
Yeah. Inside another envelope.
So
vote, be safe. You know, make it part of the errands that you run. Get it off of your list now. You want to have your vote in before the Electoral College announces its results, right? Give yourself some type of deadline that you can feel good about and say, okay, phew, now I can go back and have whatever kind of Christmas we're going to have this year, whatever kind of New Year's we're going to have this year. And then I can look back and, you know, watch some more interesting TV January 5th, because the whole world's going to be watching those guys count those votes again. And, you know, you want to be a part of it. So thank you, Georgia. We've asked a lot of you this year. We're asking just a little bit more. If you need live help, and Angela said it's Saturday,
Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, every week until the election. So doesn't matter. Just show up and somebody will help you for sure. 100%. There may not be help. I think, isn't Christmas on Saturday or something like that?
On a Saturday, you mean? Yeah.
It's on Friday. And then, So I think we'll have live help, because not everywhere has a second day of Christmas like Germany does. But I don't know. Does Sweden have 2 days of Christmas?
They start early. Like the 24th is the big day.
Right.
Where you open your presents, and then the 25th, and then, yeah, it's this stuff that goes up to like the 13th of January, like something else happens.
It's not the 13th. It's the 12 days of Christmas.
No, but past that, because Jonas calls it the day where Jesus goes to the moon. Let me see if I can look it up. And I was like, and I was like, what are you? He's like Ascension Day. And I was like, okay, Jesus goes to the moon. How cute.
Ascension Day is in August or something, isn't it?
There's something, I'm telling you, Swedish is a different calendar. Lucia comes on the 13th. That's the big thing that really kicks off. So Lucia is going to come, St. Lucia.
Lucia?
See, they have these big things. St. Lucia is normally a little girl, and they come in with live candles in their hair, like when it's dark, and you have your Lucia buns that are made out of saffron, and that's going to be Sunday. So I'm going to have to get up early in the morning and see that. I'm going to see if I can look it up, what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But it's,
When you say the 12, but they're really big, you know, like, yeah, kicked off Advent, you know, you have all of that. And then it's something else.
Yeah, there's Advent is the 4 Sundays of Advent.
Yeah,
then there's Nikolaus, which was on the 5th, I think.
We don't have that.
And then Epiphany is January 6th.
Maybe I'm thinking Epiphany, but no, you're right. Ascension, when Jesus goes to the moon, you're right. That's after Easter, right? I am trying to look. Okay, it's called.
I want to see that movie.
Well, Epiphany is January 6th. That's something that they'll do. And then January 5th is
the election.
Night? No, 12th night.
12th night.
I've got the Swedish holidays in my calendar.
Okay, so all right. Well, the 12th night is the 12th day of Christmas. Yeah.
And then.
No, Germany has the three kings.
Yeah, which is Epiphany. Yeah.
Yeah.
The three kings, but that should be the 13th, the 12th day of Christmas is the three kings. So you've got from the 25th until the 6th is 12 days. And mm-hmm. that's how they used to celebrate. Christmas used to be a 12 day fest. Unfortunately, we don't get that anymore. Where they used to just party and drink for 12 days and feast and whatever else, because it was dark and there wasn't any, you know, there's not like you can go out and plow the fields or, you know, do any stuff. You just are basically indoors. So might as well call it a feast.
I'm trying to see.
Sweden, the weirdest place in the world. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I've got Boxing Day in my calendar. I don't know why.
Boxing Day is the day after Christmas.
But then I've got substitute bank holiday for Boxing Day. I have the UK calendars in my thing still too. So the 28th, that's the substitute bank day for Boxing Day. Whatever, I don't know. But we're definitely in the Christmas season.
Yeah, we are in the holiday season. Oh, happy Hanukkah to everyone who is Jewish.
That's right. When does that start?
Hanukkah Shemesh. I think I said it right. I'm not sure.
Did it start already?
Yeah, yesterday.
Started yesterday.
So yes, happy.
And
happy.
You know what? We're not going to be doing this on December 26th, but that's Kwanzaa, first day of Kwanzaa. So
that's right. So
happy first day of Kwanzaa.
Happy Hanukkah,
people.
Happy winter solstice. Happy Festivus. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa.
Glad.
Happy New Year. and anything else that's out there. What is the other one? Oh, what was the Roman holiday? Saturnella. Happy Saturnella.
Oh, when Saturnella? Is the winter solstice?
The winter solstice should be the 20th.
So we're celebrating everything. So get your ballot in as a celebration of something.
It's the winter holiday season. And I know a lot of people that are Christian want it only to be about Christmas, but there's a lot of stuff happening, you know?
There is Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe tomorrow. Why that's in my calendar, I have no idea. But Allie, I want to thank you for taking all this time and talking with us and telling us your Georgia story. We love your husband. He gets the ballots in early.
It was important this year. You know, we felt, well, okay, maybe our count didn't vote, our vote didn't count the last time in 2016. But this year we were, you know, boots on ground, really following up, making sure, hey, did it get there?
Yeah, awesome. Awesome.
That's important. That's important that people follow up. Angela, any last parting words of advice?
I just want to also mention another special holiday is my birthday that's coming up. one will be here to celebrate it with me but my husband and our son, but it's okay. We're I won't even say when it is, but it's coming.
Don't say what it is. It's coming. It's coming this month, sometime between now and the end of the year, people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So keep her in mind.
Just my parting words are, everybody, get your ballots in if you haven't already got them in, and have a wonderful holiday season, for real. Like,
yes. Yes, indeed.
Yes, because despite the fact that this has been a hard year in a lot of ways, if you are hearing this, and you are alive and you are living in your home and you're able to work from home or whatever, you're super lucky. You know, I got this Christmas ornament that has a Santa and it's his Santa 2020. Yes. And he's wearing a mask and he's got a sack of like all sorts of, you know, antiseptic wipes and, you know, hand sanitizer and all this. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, I don't want to remember this year, but I don't see any reason not to. I'm alive and I'm doing well and my family is healthy and my friends are healthy. So, you know, I feel it wasn't the best year of our lives, but it wasn't the worst either. So happy holidays to everyone.
Happy holidays to everyone.
Happy holidays. Thank you. Keep safe.
When we'll see you in 2021. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. I said, Georgia, Georgia, a song of you comes as sweet and